Arvathi Bagini, I think you're muted, you're self-muted.
Hari Om, ma'am.
Hari Om, you can start chanting Gita Dhyana Shloka.
Okay. Om Parthaya Pratibodhita.
Also, one second.
Sure, sure.
रत्नैकल्पितमासनं हिमजलैः स्नानं च दिव्याम्बरम्
रत्नैकल्पितमासनं हिमजलैः स्नानं च दिव्याम्बरम्
नानारत्नविभूषितं मृगमदा
नानारत्नविभूषितं मृगमदाम्
मोदांकितं
चंदनम्
जातीचंपकबिल्वपत्ररचितं
पुष्पं च धूपं तथा दीपं देवदयानिधे पशुपते
हृत्कल्पितं गृह्यताम् सौवर्णेन वरत्नखण्डरचिते पात्रे घृतं पायसं
भक्ष्यं पञ्चविधं पयोदधियुतं रम्भाफलं पानकम् शाकानामयुतं जलं रुचिकरम् कर्पूरखण्डोज्ज्वलम् ताम्बूलम् मनसा मया विरचितम् भक्त्या प्रभो स्वीकुरु
यू केन् कण्टिन्यू
छत्रम् चामरयोर्युगम् व्यजनकम् चादर्शकम् निर्मलम् वीणाभेरि मृदङ्गकाहलकला गीतं च नृत्यं तथा साष्टाङ्गं प्रणीतिः स्तुतिर्बहुविधा हेतस्तमस्तं मया सङ्कल्पेन समर्पितं तव विभो पूजां गृहान प्रभो छत्रम् आत्मा त्वं गिरिजामतिः सहचरा
One second. When you are saying that, it should be Atma Tvam Girijamati Sahacharaha.
Okay.
That way you should join.
I'll start. Atma Tvam Girijamati Sahacharaha Pranashariram Griham पूजाते विषयोपभोगरचना निद्रा समाधिस्थितिः सञ्चारपदयो प्रदक्षिणविधिः स्तोत्राणि सर्वागिरः यद्यत् कर्म करोमि तत्तत् अखिलं शम्भो तव आराधनम् यद्यत् कर्म करोमि तत्तत् अखिलं शम्भो तव आराधनम् करचरणकृतं वा कायजं वा कर्मजं वा श्रवणनयनजं वा मानसं वापराधम् विहितं वा सर्वमेतत्क्षमस्व जय जय करुणाब्धे श्रीमहादेव शम्भो
धन्यवादः
महोदय. I'm so nervous the first time.
No problem. there is some mistake. This is Pradakshina Vidhihi.
Yes.
So it is Pradakshina. Pradakshina
Vidhihi.
Yeah. And then here it is Karacharana Kritam Vakayajam Sarvajam.
Okay.
Anyway.
Kritam. Okay. But I'm so nervous. So that's...
No problem at all. We all just learn and chant. Okay. Thank you. Give me half a second. Please stay. I'm trying to adjust my slides. Just one second. सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ परं वरिष्ठं ब्रह्मिष्ठं परमानन्दरूपिणं परमार्थनन्दयतिं सद्गुरुं प्रणतोऽस्म्यहम्. I hope everybody is able to see the screen, the webcam, as well as is able to hear, because I switched computers today, so I'm checking. If there's a problem, please do send me a message. Today, we will see a summary of the sixth chapter of the Gita. So, the sixth chapter of the Gita is titled Dhyana Yoga. Okay, Dhyana Yoga, which deals with the topic of Dhyanam or meditation, and especially the meditation upon the Atma, our own real nature, as taught in the previous four chapters, if you leave one out, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Therefore, the subject matter of this sixth chapter is Atma Dhyanam or meditation on the higher self, right? So, Atma Dhyanam is technically called Nididhyasanam. right? Out of Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam, Atma Dhyanam is nothing but Nididhyasanam. So therefore, we can actually call this chapter as also Nididhyasana Yogaha or Vedantic Meditation, right? So in this chapter, consisting of 47 verses, Lord Krishna deals with five topics centered on Atma Dhyanam, right? Which is the main theme of the sixth chapter. And of course, there are two more subtopics which comes as an extension at the end of the five main topics. Right? Today I seem to be having some problem moving the slides, so please bear with me. Okay, so the topics were, the first topic is Bahiranga Sadhanani, those disciplines to be followed throughout daily life which influences one's meditation, right? This was covered in verses 1 to 9 as well as 16 and 17, right? So these are general preparations for meditation referred to as Bahiranga Sadhanani. Then we had the specific preparations to be taken care of just before meditation, which is referred to as Antaranga Sadhanani, right? Means special preparations, right? These are dealt with from verses 10 up to 15. Then the third topic is Dhyana Swarupam or Dhyana, basically the nature of the Dhyanam, the actual process of meditation. And this is the central topic which is covered from 18 to 26, right? Then we get the fourth topic, right? Which is nothing but the benefit of Vedantic meditation, the fruit of meditation. This is from verse 27 to 32, right? Verse 27 to 32. So that portion is the fourth topic of Dhyana Phalam, the benefit of Vedantic meditation. And then the fifth topic is Dhyana Pratibandha Pariharav, various obstacles to meditation and the method of overcoming the obstacle. Obstacle and the remedies to overcome. So this is the fifth topic. So there are five topics which are centered on Dhyanam. And then of course we have sixth and seventh topic, basically the extension topics, which is covering Yoga Brashta, that is verses 37 to 45, and praise of the Yoga Brashta itself coming up in 46 and 47. So let's see briefly what each of these topics covered. Okay. So the first topic is Bahiranga Sadhanani, right? So that is from verses 1 to 9 or 16 and 17. So this was basically Lord Krishna's way of emphasizing Karma Yoga again as a very, very important discipline for successful meditation. So Karma Yogi can meditate very successfully, whereas the others will find it difficult. Therefore, every Dhyana Yogi must be a Karma Yogi, right? So what is Karma Yoga? We have dealt with this in detail in chapter 2, chapter 3, as well as chapter 4 also, right? And to remember the Karma Yoga, I'm not sure if you all remember, we have a formula which Swamiji had given, which is RIDE, right? R-I-D-E, right? Which represents R, reducing all adharmic actions gradually, right? What are the avoidable adharmic actions, whether it is ethical, moral, etc. We start thinking before we do these actions and start living alertly. And I is increasing of the dharmic activities that will service our infrastructure. In what form? Through the Pancha Maha Yajna, right? And once you increase the dharmic activities, then you also dedicate the activities as a worship to God. And He is experiencing the results of whatever actions we do as a prasada or a karma phalam, right, coming from the Lord. And I don't judge the karma phalam as a success or a failure. I only react when I start treating a karma phalam as a success or a failure. So basically there is the difference between responding to a situation and reacting to a situation, right? So that is E. So R-I-D-E, right? So E is experiencing everything and going through all the life experiences, good or bad, as a gift coming from the Lord. So ride is a basically a karma yoga way of life. And what is the benefit of the karma yoga way of life? It is enjoying an equanimous mind, a mind which is free from violent reaction. We read about FIR reduction and triple C increase. We studied about it in Introduction to Vedanta. Also, we studied in third chapter, right? So, karma yoga leads to an equanimous mind, and which is a prerequisite for practicing meditation. So, therefore, karma yoga becomes a very, very important aspect of the general preparation, also referred to as Bahiranga Sadhanani. And we saw this extremely important verse. One second. So, we saw this verse number 5 in the 6th chapter. Uddared Atmanatmanam Natmanam Avasadeet Atmaiva Hyatmano Banduhu Atmaiva Ripuratmanaha. Right? Here Lord Krishna mentions some of the important virtues or values that every spiritual seeker should carefully cultivate. Generally, we talk of 4 kripas, which is a very important aspect, 4 types of kripa. We talk about Ishwara's grace, which is already available. We are born in the culture that values spirituality, right? We give more importance to dharma and moksha as compared to artha and kama, if you're brought up in a Hindu family, in a Hindu tradition, right? So scriptures, temples, etc. are very important as we grow up. So that is Ishwara Kripa. So Ishwara's grace is one of the first kripas. The next is Guru Kripa, a spiritual guide. And the next one is Shastra Kripa, an opportunity to study scriptures and understand what is spiritual life, right? Gita is the best guide. We have Upanishads, etc., right? Now, what here Krishna is saying is, even if you have Ishwara Kripa, Guru Kripa, Shastra Kripa, Atma Kripa, that is blessing from our own self, grace of our own self is a blessing in itself, right? So, unless we have self-confidence, we will not be able to start on several things, right? So, there are very many fatalistic people who believe that nothing can be changed in this world, right? So, self-confidence is primary and he must believe in free will, right? A fatalistic attitude will not help. So, this I cannot achieve anything attitude, right? So, first and foremost thing is, as a human being, we all have free will. Because of our free will, Shastra is guiding us, saying that please use your free will, right, along with Shastra to determine how you would like your life to be, right? If everything is predetermined, then what is the use of free will? So this itself is proof that we are not saying that everything is going to happen just purely based on prarabdha karma, right? We can influence prarabdha karma. So take that in your hands, put in your effort, and along with Shastra, you determine how your future is going to be, what kind of goals you are going to pursue, right? So renouncing fatalism is the first aspect, and we do not negate faith, but we definitely negate fatalism, right? So Krishna says, faith determines our future, but it is only one of our factors. It's not the only factors. We do have free will and we must use free will to influence our fate, right? So the resultant force of free will as well as fate can be different from the direction of the fate. So acceptance of free will is the first step, right? So self will is the first step. The second is self confidence. With available free will, I can influence my life positively, that belief. And then third is self effort, the effort required. We only have to put in, nobody else can put in that effort. And then the fourth one is self integration of the personality. Now all four are important, and Lord Krishna highlights this very important shloka negating fatalism, right? Arjuna, use your free will and upgrade yourself, right? This is what Krishna is telling in this mantra, in this verse. And he's talking about self-confidence, self-effort, self-integration. Self-integration is integration of the layers of the personalities, integration of the panchakoshas, right? So whatever our intellect decides, our mind, sense organs and our body must be able to work with it and produce the result, right? Unless they work in a coordinated manner, we will have a difficulty in achieving any of our objectives. And if you recall, I gave you the example of the chariot one. Lord Krishna himself compares the body, sense organs, etc. with the chariot, right? We saw that body is a chariot, sense organs are the horses, the mind, the reins, intellect is like the driver, right? So we have fantastic instruments, integrate them, and then they are available for dharma, artha, kama, moksha, right? So very important verse that we saw here, that you know, this self will, self effort, self confidence and self integration, they are very, very important aspects for our spiritual journey in general. For achieving even materialistic goals, we need this, right? So these were the four important instructions as a preparation for meditation that Krishna gave. And the important verses here, other than this verse, were the sixth verse, and I'm not going to do them again, right? Then we have the 17th verse, which was also an important verse, right? And then we moved on to the second topic, which is Antaranga Sadhanani. So the second topic is special preparations before practicing meditation, consisting of three different aspects. The first three external factors: desha, choosing the right place which is conducive for meditation, which is clean, which is spiritually inspiring and which is free from external disturbances. So this is deshaha. The second aspect is kalaha. You should choose a time which is conducive, in which we can be regular every day, right? If we do one day in the morning, another day in the evening, then we can have the body may not get tuned to that, right? So it is important that we do it at the same time every day, right? So that we are comfortable, and generally early morning is better, right? But any time that is comfortable to each person, that is fine. So this is the kala aspect, and also then asana, right? The appropriate asana, where how we sit, whether if there are old people who cannot bend their knees, it is okay to sit on a chair also, but we must find a comfortable position in which we can sit without moving for a minimum of 20 minutes, right? That is important. That is asana. The fifth, basically the fourth factor, which is actually beyond the external factors, comprises of a group of five internal factors, which is sharira stithihi, pranasthitihi, indriyasthitihi, manasthitihi and buddhisthitihi, right? So all the different layers of our personality, physical body must be relaxed. Our breathing must be slow and harmonious, right? And then the sense organs must be withdrawn from the external world. And the mind must be withdrawn from our external world, possessions, our family, right? We should not have, as soon as we close our eyes, we should not have all the problems marching in front of us, right? So ability to withdraw the mind from all external situations, right? So we must practice to get our mind to that state. And then of course, intellect must also be convinced of the utility of the meditation itself, right? Otherwise, what will happen is we will be sitting there for 15 to 20 minutes, but we will be worrying about something else rather than actually doing meditation. We also saw different types of meditation, relaxation, concentration, expansion, value meditation, and of course, Vedantic meditation is Nididhyasanam, or dwelling on the features of the Atma and claiming the Atma as oneself, right? That is the Vedantic meditation. So, this is the second topic which we saw on Antaranga Sadhanani from verses 10 to 15. Right? Then the third topic was Dhyana Swarupam or nature. So this is verses 18 to 26 where we actually we saw the actual process of meditation, which is called Dharana, Dhyanam and Samadhi. These three levels go together. Dharana means withdrawing the mind from the external field and focusing the mind on the object of meditation. Withdrawing the mind from other fields and focusing means what? Making sure that we do not allow our thoughts to go in all different directions. Channelizing the thoughts and conserving and moving towards the object of meditation. Right? In this chapter, the object of meditation being my own higher nature, Atma Swarupam. Right? So therefore, I must remember the description of the Atma that we studied in the second chapter of the Gita, right? From 12th verse to 25th verse of the second chapter, we saw the definition of Atma. Atma nityaha, satyaha, sarvagataha, nirvikaraha, aprameyaha, akarta, abhokta, right? We have to revise these teachings regularly and also the associated meanings with these words, so that when we are dwelling in Vedantic meditation, we can understand the meaning and our thoughts can be centered around this, right? So, Atma Dhyanam is not thoughtlessness, but it is reviving the teaching that I have heard from my Guru and focusing on it, right? So, this is called Dhyanam, right? And Dharana is focusing. Dhyanam is struggling to retain in that thought, which has to culminate finally in Samadhi, right? So, Lord Krishna describes Samadhi as the mind remaining in that thought effortlessly without any distraction. In simple English, Samadhi means absorption in this thought. This Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi. And Lord Krishna gave an example also. Just like a flame that is kept in a protected enclosure, the flame remains without wavering or flickering, right? So similarly, the mind has forgotten the world, forgotten the family, forgotten the business, forgotten everything else, and the mind remains absorbed in this teaching, and this absorption is called Samadhi. So you have Dharana, you have Dhyanam, and then you have Samadhi. Right? Let me complete this. Okay. So, Lord Krishna gave the seven definitions of Samadhi, which I am not going into the details, right? We will just quickly enumerate them and quickly have a recall. So, the first one is Chitta Uparamana, abidance of the mind, right? And then the second one was Atma Darshanam, right? Claiming my own higher nature. I think of the Atma. The third definition is Atma Nishta. I abide in the Atma. I don't think of Atma as an object, but I think of Atma as myself, the subject, right? Very important. Whenever we say dwelling on Atma as an object of meditation, it is not actually object of meditation, but claiming that Atma as myself, the subject, right? So that is Atma Nishta. The fourth definition is Atma Labaha. Abiding in the Atma is like the accomplishment of Atma, which we had lost because of our ignorance. We did not know about it, right? And we did not claim about it, claim that. So therefore, fourth definition is Atma Labha. The fifth definition is Atma Ananda Praptihi, the attainment of joy, which is our own real nature. Then the sixth one is Anatma Dukkha Nivrittihi, freedom from all the sorrows which have come because of the identification with the body. Freedom from the pain caused by body identification. Right? Anatma Dukkha Nivrittihi. And seventh definition is Dukkha Samyoga Vyogaha. Right? Which is actually a technical definition that we saw. Right? Dukkha Samyoga Vyogaha. We saw this in detail during the class. Right? And this is the third topic which covers the seven definitions of samadhi across different verses. So we will see some of the important verses quickly, just to recall. We saw this. This is 20th verse. Description is Chitta Uparamanam here and Atma Darshanam. Then we also saw 21, in which we had So this was Atyantika Sukha Praptihi in 21. And then we had the 24th verse. Today I seem to be having some major issues with the slides. Okay. So this is 24th slide, 24th verse, which was the other important verse, right, where we studied about while practicing meditation, we should remember the teaching of the scriptures and then move from world dependence to God dependence to self dependence, another important verse that we saw. Then after this, we saw the 25th verse, which was again on, you know, withdrawing the mind gradually by the intellect, right? And then these were the important verses of topic 3. And then we let's move on to the topic 4, which is Dhyana Phalam, right? This is the fourth topic that we saw in chapter 6, right? So this is benefits of the Dhyanam itself, right? And Dhyana Phalam is the benefit of practicing Atma Dhyanam. So Lord Krishna mentions four benefits. The first benefit is Sarvatra Atma Darshanam, not forgetting our higher nature even during day-to-day transactions, right? Otherwise, what will happen is we will remember the teaching during the class, but immediately after that it will be forgotten. So in order to imbibe this teaching and practice it, we do Vedantic meditation, and that is what results in actual benefit of remembering it right through. So Sarvatra Atma Darshanam is remembering our higher nature all the time when the life goes through ups and downs. Actually, the more we remember the higher nature, the lesser we have problems impacting us, right? Whether it is happiness or whether it is sadness or anger or fear. And then the second benefit is Sarvatra Ishvara Darshanam, right? Not forgetting the Atma is not forgetting Ishvara, because Atma and Ishvara are really one and the same, right? So we will see a lot in the later chapters. Never forgetting Atma is never forgetting Ishvara, right? Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra Sarvamcha Mai Pashyati. So this is the second benefit, Sarvatra Atma Darshanam. And then Sarvatra Ishvara Darshanam. And then of course Sarvatra Samadarshanam, right? Even though we are all superficially different, because our bodies are different, or our minds are different, our intellects are different, right? Even though we are superficially different, essentially we are one and the same Atma, consciousness, principle, right? So basically there is only one invisible power like the electricity. which functions behind all the, you know, the electrical gadgets. There is only one consciousness which is functioning behind all these bodies, all these, whether it's plants, animals, whether it is other human beings, etc., right? So what is the benefit of this? This is, we see unity in diversity, right? Sarvatra Samadarshanam is the third benefit. And the fourth and most important benefit because of this is the mind of the meditator becomes so sensitive that he will be able to understand the feelings of others. A Vedantic person is a sensitive person. He can understand the feelings of others and he has empathy for everyone. He is considerate to all and he is in general a very compassionate person, right? So this is the greatest benefit of Vedantic meditation, and he has freedom from selfishness, which is generally the curse of the society, right? So the biggest advantage of this is that the person becomes very kind towards others, right? So these are the four phalams of the Vedantic meditation. So the important verses here were 28 and then 29 and then 30, right? And then we move on to topic 5, which is again another important topic, which is Dhyana Pratibandha Pariharau, right? Verses 33 to 36, there were two remedies here. This was the final topic of the Dhyanam, right? Arjuna asked the question, hey Krishna, if I try to sit in meditation, I do everything except meditation. My mind is highly restless and wandering. So how can I successfully practice meditation when there are so many distractions, right? So when there is a powerful factor, right, there are some, you will actually notice, right, when there is a extremely difficult situation, even within your family, you will see that some people shudder, some people are so angry, some people are calm and are able to analyze the situation, right? So this is because they're all, their nature, their sattva raja guna combination, their own upbringing and their exposure to spiritual learning, all of this have made a difference, right? So Arjuna asks, what should I do, right? So Lord Krishna gives the remedy, which is called Parihara, which is the topic from 33 to 36. Lord Krishna gives two important remedies, right? One is called Vairagyam, reduction of Raga, Dvesha, and another is called Abhyasa, right? So Vairagyam means reduction of Raga, Dvesha. Greater the likes and dislikes, more will be the restlessness of the mind. Therefore, you have to reduce Raga and Dvesha. How? Only by practicing Karma Yoga, which we saw in the third chapter, right? We've also elaborately discussed how the sense organs must be controlled and how not to get enslaved by them, right? So Karma Yoga is one method, and the second method is Abhyasa, right? Now, all through our childhood and even later, we have done exercises for physical body, right? We have done exercises for learning math, science, physics, etc. But we have never done any exercises to control our thoughts and minds. So Abhyasaha is a very, very important aspect to remove obstacles, right? Repeated trying and you will definitely succeed by going on bringing the mind even when the thoughts go astray, and continuously doing this over a long period of time, along with, of course, reduction of Raga and Dvesha, right? So with this, actually, if you see, the main theme of the sixth chapter is over, right? But Arjuna raises a question, right? If you remember, Arjuna raises a question thereafter. So what was that question, right? So Arjuna raised a question here, and that was from 37 to 45, right? So he was speaking about Yoga Brishta, right? If you remember. So Arjuna asked, hey Krishna, I think it is extremely difficult to control the mind. I can control everything in the world, but this is the most difficult task, right? So his doubt was that I am not confident, but I feel that I will be a spiritual failure. Yoga Brashtaha means spiritual failure. And if I become a Yoga Brashtaha, what will happen to me in the next Janma? So Arjuna has already started thinking of the next Janma, writing off the current Janma, right? Therefore, Lord Krishna consoles Arjuna and encourages Arjuna, saying, continue your effort will never go waste, right? So whoever is sincere and a serious spiritual seeker, all those seekers will have a favorable next Janma. That is guaranteed, he says. And anyway, I am the Karma Faladata or Karma Adhyaksha. Bhagavan is a Karma Adhyaksha, right? So he is guaranteeing that for all sincere and serious seekers, they will get moksha in this Janma or at least in the next Janma, where they will get an ideal and favorable family. And by the law of the, I explained to you, like, you know, you're brought forward and the account is high, like in the passbook. Similarly, every class that we hear or every punyam that we do in terms of shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, it gets registered in the mind and then it gets added up, right? And it will definitely produce a better Janma, which is more conducive for attaining moksha, right? So this was the topic from 37th to 45th Yoga Brishtaha topic. And with this, Lord Krishna consoles and encourages Arjuna, right? We saw what happens to a Yoga Brishta in verses 41 and 42. Right? So we saw that. Then topic 7 was the main, as I said, it was like a serial that Lord Krishna left with a suspense, right? So Lord Krishna concludes by glorifying a Vedantic meditator as the greatest spiritual seeker, right? And he says, he says in the concluding verse, Lord Krishna mentions not only Atma Dhyanam, but Lord Krishna talks about Ishvara Dhyanam, right? So he said there, saying that, see, throughout 5th chapter, Lord Krishna talked about, 6th chapter, Krishna talked about Atma Dhyanam. But in the last verse, Lord Krishna suddenly introduces Ishvara Dhyanam. So naturally, Arjuna will wonder, who is this Ishvara and what is Ishvara Dhyanam, right? So the next 6 chapters, as I said, is going to discuss this, right? So the last verse is actually the seed for the following chapters, right? And with this, actually, Krishna had ended the 6th chapter, right? Right, 46 and 47th verse, we ended the 6th chapter, right? So now let me just take a few minutes to talk, complete the 6th chapters that we have completed. It is a section, right? So why is it a section? Now we are going to enter the 7th chapter, which is a big transition in the study of the Gita. Therefore, we have to note that what is this transition, right? The entire Bhagavad Gita consists of 18 chapters, which is broadly classified into 3 portions and each one consisting of 6 chapters. Each portion is actually called a Shatkam. Okay? So, it is called a Shatkam because it consists of 6 chapters. In Sanskrit, the word Shat refers to 6. So, Shatkam meaning a group of 6 chapters. So, the entire Gita consists of 3 Shatkams. The first one is called Prathama Shatkam, the second one is called Madhyama Shatkam, and the last portion is called Charama Shatkam. Charama meaning final. So each of the Shatkams has 6 chapters, and when you study these 3 portions or Shatkams, you can see that 3 main topics are highlighted in each one of the Shatkams, right? And these 3 main topics, which will come in Prathama Shatkam, will be totally changed when we are entering the Madhyama Shatkam, right? So Lord Krishna will introduce the next group of 3 topics, right? So therefore, we have to note the 2 groups of topics. We can see the transition clearly. In the Prathama Shatkam, the 3 main topics are Jiva Swarupam, right? The essential nature of Jiva or individual, showing that Jiva is not the physical body. Jiva is not the mind or sense organs. Jiva is essentially Atma, the consciousness, right? So, if you remember the third chapter, right, we saw that body is not the real you, sense organs are not the real you, mind is not the real you, even the intellect is not the real you. They are all only instruments of transaction. And who is the real you? Yo buddhehe parataha, one who is beyond all of them, the Sakshi Chaitanyam is the real you. So Lord Krishna described the Sakshi Chaitanyam in seven important words, right? We saw that. So that is Akarta, Bhokta, Nityaha, Satyaha, etc. So Jiva Swarupam, the essential nature of the individual. This is the one topic that we saw in the Prathama Shatkam. Whereas in the Madhyama Shatkam, Lord Krishna will change the topic from Jiva Swarupam to Ishvara Swarupam. Ishvara meaning God or Bhagavan. So throughout the Madhyama Shatkam, from 7th chapter to 12th chapter, 6 chapters, Lord Krishna will elaborately deal with the nature of God, Ishvara Swarupam. Thus you see the contrast, Jiva Swarupam in Prathama Shatkam, Ishvara Swarupam in Madhyama Shatkam. Then secondly, throughout the Prathama Shatkam, Lord Krishna highlights what? The sadhana of Karma Yoga, right? In the second chapter, third chapter, fourth chapter. In fact, Swamiji says you can do it as a homework to pick all the Karma Yoga verses from all these chapters and see that it was mainly only Karma Yoga, right? Although of course Jnana Yoga was introduced and Upasana Yoga was introduced. In fact, Karmanye Vadikaraste, we got that famous verse also. Then in third chapter, we got Mai Sarvani Karmani, right? All of these are important Karma Yoga based verses in the Prathama Shatkam. So Lord Krishna has highlighted the importance of Karma Yoga as a spiritual sadhana, in which we have talked about the importance of Panchamahayajna, right? And we have studied about Jiva Swarupa, Karma Yoga, Panchamahayoga, the RIDE acronym, right? All of this we saw in Prathama Shatkam, where Karma Yoga is the second topic, right? In Madhyama Shatkam, there is going to be a shift in this spiritual sadhana, and that is going to be Upasana Yoga. So Upasana means practice of meditation, Saguna Upasana. So Karma Yoga is a wonderful spiritual discipline in which I am active and extrovert. The extrovertedness of Karma Yoga must be balanced with Upasana Yoga, in which a person learns to sit quiet. A workaholic will find it extremely difficult to remain seated, right, without a mobile, first of all, in the hand, right? If we can sit for 20 minutes without this and focus our restless extrovert mind, that itself is a big thing, right? So the Bahirmukha mind should become Antarmukha mind, for which meditation is very, very important, especially the four types of meditation that we saw: relaxation, concentration, expansion and value, right? Krishna uses the word Abhyasa Yogaha in the place of Upasana Yogaha, right? So Abhyasa Yoga is the same as Upasana Yoga. Thus a spiritual student should know Jiva Swarupam also, he should know Ishvara Swarupam also. And a spiritual student should practice Karma Yoga, and a spiritual student should practice Upasana Yoga also, right? We should not ask which is important, because both are equally important. This Jiva Swarupam and Ishvara Swarupam, Karma Yoga and Upasana Yoga. And then the third aspect, which is highlighted in the Prathama Shatkam, is the importance of self-effort. I should accept responsibility for my life. I should not expect others to work for my growth, right? Others will be there to assist me, and others can only play a supportive role. Whether they are parents, whether they are my gurus, whether they are my surroundings, right? Whether they are scriptures, whether it is God, all of them can play only a supportive role. Primary role is to be played by me and me alone, right? We should not blame others for our failures, right? Very, very important. You can see that between successful people and the not so successful people, this is a significant factor that impacts, right? So responsibility for my growth, right? and accepting that my growth is heavily dependent on my effort, the direction of my spiritual journey, equally applicable to materialistic pursuits, the direction of my spiritual journey must be determined by me and me alone. Again, others will serve as consultants, others can help me, but I alone have to choose the direction and travel. So thus, every spiritual student must accept that I have a free will, which is a very, very, of course, a controversial subject. People keep on discussing, but scriptures make it very clear that animals don't have a free will, but human beings do have a free will. And if we don't accept a free will, and if we don't employ our free will, we cannot claim we are human beings at all. Bhagwan will enlist us as animals only, right? So animals do not have free will, but we have a choice of attending a Gita class or attending Upanishad class, right? So this is called Purusha Prayatnaha. The third aspect is called Purusha Prayatnaha, right? And we saw a lot about it, and we also saw Karmanyeva Adhikaraste, where you can choose to do what you can do. You have influence over what you can do. You can choose when to talk, where to talk, what to talk, right? And you can do all of this by choice, right? And you can decide what you would like to do with your free will, right? And Krishna clearly said in Udare Dhatmanatmanam, which we just saw, about the importance of self-effort and free will, right? So the third topic of the Prathama Shatkam was Purusha Prayatnaha, or individual effort. In contrast to that, in Madhyama Shatkam, Lord Krishna wants to emphasize Purusha Prayatnam alone is not enough for success. We have another factor, which is what we refer loosely as fate or destiny, right? That also influences, and Bhagavad Gita accepts role of fate. But fatalism is that when you say fate alone influences my life. So the definition of fate is the punyam and papam that we have acquired through our past actions in the form of what? In the form of sanchita karma, which has fructified as prarabdha karma, which we are exhausting in this janma, right? But we have acquired these over countless past human births, right? So, therefore, Ishwara Aradhanam, Ishwara Puja, Ishwara Namasmaranam, all these devotional exercises are capable of altering our fate and making them favorable to us. This is called Ishwara Prasada, which is a blessing that we do not get freely, right? So, Prayatnaha plus Prasadaha will lead to spiritual success. Prayatna alone is not enough. Prasada alone is not enough, right? So very, very important, both together, right? So these are very, very important aspects of the Prathama Shatkam and Madhyama Shatkam, right? Very, very important. So Prasada means blessings, and throughout Madhyama Shatkam, Lord Krishna will highlight Ishwara Prasada, Ishwara Anugraha, right? So when we say prasada, it is not the prasada that we see in the temples, right? But this is prasada meaning Ishwara's blessing, right? So the third contrast is prayatna in the Prathama Shatkam, prasada in the Madhyama Shatkam. So what are the three? We saw Jiva Swarupam versus Ishwara Swarupam in Madhyama Shatkam, Karma Yoga versus Upasana Yoga, Prayatana versus Prasada, right? So in the following chapters, we will get Ishwara Swarupam, Upasana Yoga and Ishwara Anugraha. All these are important, but Ishwara Swarupam is the most important topic, the nature of God, right? Because when we study Ishwara Swarupam in the Madhyama Shatkam, we have to note one very important thing. Before we get interested in scriptural study, until a person seriously plans to study Gita, all of us, especially the Hindus, have got what? We got a concept of God. What kind of God, right? We read Amar Chitra Katha, and then we imagine lot of pictures of God. Puranic stories, Upanyasas, right? And Ramayanam, Bhagavadam, movies, like all these old movies, Thiruvalayadal and all of that. God movies were there. So for us, we associate the concept of God with such a formed God, right? So Krishna will strongly advise us during the next 6 chapters to please totally revise your concept of God, which will initially disturb some people, but we have to grow out of this popular concept of God to what? To the actual concept of God. So, from this many gods, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, Krishna, Rama, etc., from pluralistic gods or finite being kind of God like Krishna, Rama, which we have picturized all through our life, our younger life, until we got exposure to Gita, right? And we always think they are occupying some loka, sitting in the clouds somewhere, etc., right? And any God that is coming is subject to departure also, right? Anything that is subject to arrival is subject to departure also. So, we have been used to finite gods in all kinds of forms and shapes and located somewhere, right? So, they are all very, very important because initially we will not understand God in His original nature, right? Nirvishesha Param Brahma, we don't understand, right? But finally, we need to get there, right? Exactly like how a child is taught to count with 1, 2, 3, 4 with his fingers, right? But afterwards, when you ask an adult to count, he's not using the fingers anymore, right? So, therefore, these stories are important to represent God and to develop devotion, to perform puja, to practice meditation. We require such a God or such gods. But we should remember that is not the ultimate God which the Hindu scriptures want to teach. Firstly and foremost, we don't have many gods at all. We've got many representations or many forms representing one God. In fact, in Shvetashvatara Upanishad, we have studied, we will be seeing if at all we get a chance. Eko deva sarva bhutastu gudaha, sarvam vyapi, sarva vyapi. Bhagavan is said to be one and all pervading, right? So that is why Lord Krishna himself will tell later, Arjuna, don't think that this Lord Krishna's body is the real Krishna. A body that has a date of birth, a date of death is a mortal body. So, Krishna as a person will also have a date of birth and a date of death. Therefore, Arjuna, use the shariram for puja, but you have to transcend this form, transcend plurality, transform and Ishvara, get to Ishvara ekaha, Ishvara sarvagataha. Bhagavan is all pervading. He doesn't reside in any loka. That is the biggest contradiction. So, we need to get to that state of understanding God, right? Very, very important. We should learn to discern the all-pervading Ishvara by studying the Madhyama Shatkam and revising that concept of God from what we have been exposed to so far is very, very important. Otherwise, what will happen is we will not be able to even explain our own religion to others and also our own children, right? They will also ask us questions and we cannot even respond to them, right? So, with this actually next week we will enter into the 7th chapter proper, right? So, let me complete the Purnamada, then I will take questions. Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Any questions? One second. Okay, does the Gita promote fatalism or free will? Some places Krishna says future is due to choices. Other places he mentions that he knows everything that has happened will happen. So, I think I explained that, right? As Sarvajnaha, Krishna knows everything, right? And between fatalism and free will, I think I discussed this. Of course, this question has come in before that. So, I covered this in the class, right? So, in Shloka 6.5, is the self, lower I, the ego or the Atma, right? 6.5, one second. Actually, I was irregular. I'll go through your classes, she says, the person. Achila, one second. Oh, 6-5. Oh, here it is oneself, the person one, right? So it is about the person, right? Talking about the person, how one should uplift themselves, that's all, right? Any other questions? Let me just check any hands raised. I don't think anybody else has a question. So next week we will be actually starting with the 7th chapter, and today that's why I thought, you know, it is better to do the complete introduction to the Madhyama Shatkam, which is what I tried to cover today, right? So, next week we will meet same time. Dhanyavada. Namaste.